take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. We're going to read verses 24 through 29 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here on this property today. Lord, it's quite obvious your Holy Spirit was present. It's quite obvious that you enjoyed church today as your people enjoyed church. Yet we stand before you a needy people. God, we are a sinful people, and we are in desperate need of what the preacher has for us tonight. We live in a pretty tough world. A lot of it's created because of our own sin, and Lord, we need to know how to handle that. Be with our preacher, fill him with your power, touch his voice tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about the subject of dealing with pressure. Now, I want you to look right this way. I cannot struggle to get your attention. Obviously, I have my health is a little weak this evening, but I want to help you. I am not going to be able to romp and stomp and raise my voice, and I knew that. I picked this sermon for that very purpose, but I had a conversation with a leader, in this case, a man of God. He asked me, he said, Brother Owens, could you teach me something about dealing with pressure? And I said, I think I can. We sat down, we were drinking a cup of coffee, and I probably took about an hour, and I gave him some points about dealing with pressure. I'm going to teach you what I said to him. Never intended to preach it, never intended to teach it, never intended to use it anywhere, but I felt like it would help us, and I think you'll find some help here somewhere. In this story that we read earlier, Jesus is telling the story. He's telling a parable. He talks about a man that built his house upon a rock, and he says the rain came down, the flood came up, and the wind came, and the man that built his house upon a rock, his house stood firm. Now, there's another person that built a house, and they built it upon the sand. The rain came, the floods came, and the wind came, and that house crumbled. Now, here's what I want you to see. Both people were building something. Both, I believe, were probably facing the identical storm or identical pressures. One held up under pressure. The other did not. Now, I realize we talk about being built on a rock. Now, let me say something to you. If you're saved, Jesus Christ is our rock. But we all have the same Christ. We all have the same rock. But might I say, there are Christians in this room, there's some Christian on the lower level that will face the pressure, and you'll hold up. There's some Christian on the upper level of this auditorium, you'll face the same pressure, and you won't hold up, but you're both built on the same rock. See, there's some things that we need to learn about this subject of pressure. When it talks about the rain, I want you to picture this. Rain coming down could be pressure from above us. Maybe that's pressure from our leaders. Young people, maybe that's pressure from teachers or mom and dad or some leader. Maybe it's pressure from God. So the rain was coming down and there was pressure. But wait, the floods were coming up. That meant there was pressure from underneath. There is pressure from below. That's pressure from followers. Mom and dad, that's pressure from those precious children that keep their eye on you, that you lead. All of you that lead in the ministry, there are followers that are under you. And there's a pressure. Some of you are leaders at work, and there are pressures from below. So you've got pressure from above. You've got pressure from beneath. The wind. That means the wind, it may come straight on to you. Maybe that's pressure out in front of you. What is that? Maybe that's pressure of the future. And there's a certain pressure that we face. What does tomorrow hold? What is my career? What would my future be? Then that same wind may come from behind us. What could it picture? Maybe that's the pressure from our past. Maybe you've got a rough past. Maybe there's a lot of hurt in your past. So there's some pressure from your past. There's pressure out in front of you from your future. There's pressure that comes from your right or from your left. Maybe that's your peer pressure from those around you, from those that you live with. So here we are. We're facing pressure from above. We're facing pressure from beneath. We're facing pressure from out in front. We're facing pressure from behind. We're facing pressure from the right and from the left. But we are to be as solid as a rock. You know, folks, you are to be a good Christian even when you're under pressure. Somehow we think if we're under pressure, it's okay to have a bad attitude. Somehow we think if we're under pressure, it justifies misbehavior. Somehow we think all the Christian graces are to be thrown out the door when we're under pressure. That's not the case. It's easy to be a good Christian when it's easy. Really, the time when you need the Christian graces is when it's not easy. We are to be good Christians when we're under pressure. I cannot say to you that this is a truth tonight that is built line upon line and precept upon precept. I'm not going to give you step one followed by an obvious step two and an obvious step three. I am just merely going to give you some observations about pressure. One may have something to do with another or be connected, or they may not. But remember, the whole conversation was with a leader, and he was under a lot of pressure, and he said to me, and I don't know that it's true, he said, Brother Owens, you hold up very well under pressure. You have a lot of pressure on you. I've watched you for years. What do? I analyzed it. I sat down, and I taught him some things that I recognize about this subject of pressure. We'll let the Holy Spirit of God apply it to you however he would like. Let me start out quickly. Number one, I put pressure on myself. I put pressure on myself. Some of you need to learn to push yourself. Can I tell you something? You will not be as offended when others are pushing you if you are already pushing yourself. You say, I'm feeling a bunch of pressure. Some of that pressure you ought to be putting on yourself. You wouldn't feel as pressured from the outside if you were putting on some pressure on the inside. You need to put some pressure on yourself. You know, at work, you say, I feel pressured at work. You ought to be pressuring yourself at work. So I'm upset with my boss for putting pressure on me. You ought to be putting so much pressure on yourself, boss doesn't have to put pressure on you. As a good Christian, you're to push yourself. But, let me say, you will be less offended while others push if you are already pushing. If you will put pressure on you, you will not feel the pressure of others as much. Listen, I put pressure on myself about the growth of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I push me. I put the pressure on me. And I want that. Some of us need to learn, number one, put some pressure on yourself. Number two, I put pressure on me before the heavy pressure comes. I'll explain that to you. I put the pressure on before the heavy pressure comes. Here's what I mean by that. Listen, preparation reduces stress and pressure. Preparation reduces pressure. Let me say it again. Preparation reduces pressure. Organization reduces pressure. I prepare my sermons for Sunday. I don't stay up Saturday night at 12 o'clock at night trying to prepare my sermon for Sunday morning. I don't get up Sunday morning and put this a ton of pressure on myself to get a sermon ready when I walk in the pulpit on Sunday morning. I couldn't do that. I know lots of preachers that do. Now, that's their prerogative. They can do it any way they want. I come to this pulpit very relaxed, very ready to preach to you. I come with a good attitude. I don't come to this pulpit all stressed out. I don't come to the pulpit all emotionally controlled. You know, you put enough pressure on yourself when you're about to go into a big event. You get in the flesh. You won't do it right. You'll make things personal that should not be personal. And I don't do that. So I put pressure on me before the pressure comes. In other words, it's organization. Preparation reduces pressure. There are some of you, you find yourself in pressure situations constantly because you are a procrastinator. You don't sit down and organize. You don't think through what you're doing, and the moment comes upon you and you're ready to pull your hair out. You're angry. You're tense. You're hard to deal with. People think you're curt. You don't have to be that way. Preparation reduces pressure. Number three. I keep my regular duties current and ahead, so when pressure times come, they don't add an immense pressure to me. Yes. Folks, what I'm saying is, I live and do my regular duties when they're supposed to be done. Then, when an added event comes upon me, I'm not all freaked out because I've got all my regular duties running behind. Now I've got another duty to add on top of it. Young people, do your homework every day. And if you'll keep it up every day, when the teacher pops a surprise assignment on you, you're not going, well, I'm running behind on everything else. I'm under pressure. Now I've got to add this extra assignment. You see, I said, I keep my regular duties current. So if a surprise comes upon me, I don't have double duty or double pressure. Does that make sense to you? See, listen to this. Today's procrastination intensifies tomorrow's pressure. I'll say it again. Today's procrastination intensifies tomorrow's pressure. Some of you need to learn how to deal with pressure. And I'm telling you how to do it. Number one, learn to pressure yourself. And it won't seem like so much of life is pressuring you. Number two, preparation reduces pressure. Number three, today's procrastination intensifies tomorrow's pressure. If some of you would just do what you're supposed to do today, tomorrow would go better for you. But if you put today's work off until tomorrow, now you've got today's pressure added to tomorrow's pressure, and I don't think God intended it to be that way. You live by schedule, do what's supposed to be done, when it's supposed to be done, and you won't feel like you've been treated unjustly in regard to the pressures of life. Number four, I think you can handle present pressure. But you need to be careful trying to handle present pressure, past pressure, and future pressure. Yes, sir. I said, I think you can handle present pressure, but you may not handle past pressure, present pressure, and future pressure. You say, what do you mean? Folks, the future is in God's hands. Some of us are all panicked about tomorrow. Well, you can't do anything about tomorrow necessarily. You're going to have to wait until tomorrow comes. Did I tell you something? God gives you no strength for tomorrow. He gives you strength for today. Now, here's what some of you do. You need to leave the past in the past. You need to leave the future to God. And you need to use the strength and the power God gives you today. You see, if you're living in the past, panic about the future, trying to handle the now, well, you've got pressure from the past, pressure from the future, pressure from the now. You may not have the strength to handle that. So some of you need to if it's confess your sin, get it off your plate, get it behind you, and go on, then do so. Say, but oh, Brother Holmes, I'm so afraid. I'm going to fall flat on my face, and I'm going to get backslidden tomorrow. Hey, the best way to assure yourself that you're right with God tomorrow is to be right with God today. None of us know what tomorrow holds. None of us say, oh, I don't know if I can handle tomorrow. I don't know if I can handle tomorrow either, but I know one thing I can do. I can handle today. And the pressure of today, God has given me the strength for today. And I need to handle the pressure of today. So, let me repeat myself. Number one, learn to pressure yourself. Number two, preparation reduces pressure. Number three, today's procrastination intensifies tomorrow's pressure. Number four, you can handle the pressure of today, but you're not going to handle the pressure of tomorrow and yesterday, so you take the strength God's given you today. Number five, don't ignore pressures. See if you can fix them. Don't ignore pressures. See if you can fix them. Listen, if things are not right in your home, if things are not right in your marriage, if things are not right with your children, I believe in being patient, but I also believe if something's broken, fix it. Fix it. Look, if you and your wife need to sit down and talk, do it. But you need to be careful. If you let that pressure intensify and magnify, and you let the pressure go Monday, and then Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and then Thursday, and then Friday, and then Saturday, and then Sunday, and you let it go week one, and week two, and week three, you're going to have a mess. You are going to be angry with each other. You are going to have knockdown, drag-out fights. You are going to have a mess in your marriage. Look, when there's pressure, start doing what you can to solve the pressure. I do this. When the pressure starts coming in on me, when I feel it, when I feel the pressure from beneath and above, when I feel the pressure, I start looking at all the pressure points and I start saying, what can I do about that one? How can I fix this one? What can I do to resolve that? How can I fix this? I start, look, if you feel like your ship is sinking because it's getting water in it, start bailing water, buddy. Start nailing. But look at it logically. Some of you, when you're under pressure, you need to look at it and say, what's causing this pressure? Then you say, what am I going to do to solve it? What can I start fixing? What can I improve? And I start fixing things to take the pressure off of myself. Again, let me repeat. I put pressure on myself, number one. Number two, preparation reduces pressure. Number three, today's procrastination intensifies tomorrow's pressure. Number four, God gives me strength for today, and I need to bear the pressure of today, not the past or the future. Number five, I don't ignore pressure. I try to fix what's causing the pressure. Number six, this is just a little more philosophical, if you will. Some people feel like pressure pushes them down, crushes them, or limits them. I feel like pressure expands you and grows you. Some of you think pressure is your enemy. I think pressure is your friend. Look, if somebody's not pushing you to go forward, you'll not grow. Some of you parents, you've given up on putting pressure on yourself to grow. But you're all for putting pressure on your kids. Pressure grows things. Pressure causes achievement. One of my jobs as your pastor is to get you to do what you never dreamed you could do. It is my job for us to do what we don't think we can do. It is my job to lead you to look at what you used to say, I never thought I could do that. But many of you today, you're doing it. There are people in here that thought you could never teach a Sunday school class. Today you're a Sunday school teacher. There are people in here that never thought you could stand before a crowd and speak. And today you're speaking. There are people in here that never thought that you could run a bus route and lead a bus route. You're doing it. And folks, all I want to do is I want you to get everything out of your life that you can get out of your life. That's all. We sometimes get this idea, oh, pressure, it's going to destroy me. No, pressure, it's going to make you. It's going to make you. Pressure is a part of birth and life, not death. You don't believe it. Everyone here that's ever given birth to a child, you're under a lot of pressure. Under a lot of pressure. But life came forth. The pressure was worth the pain because of what it brought forth. And for some of you, there's pain in pressure. But no pain, no gain. You want to be dead? You want to be on the sideline? You want to be unused? Just try to curl up in a ball and hide. But some of you, come on out. Come on out. Get in the pressure. Pressure grows people. Jesus was under pressure. They put him in a grave. You know it was predicted he was coming up out of that grave? That's pressure. He was under pressure. But because Jesus faced the pressure, he took the pressure, we get life. Because had he not come up out of that grave, you and I would never be saved. Pressure brings life. Pressure produces. Pressure makes good things happen. Let me go on. Number 7. I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give me extra control and wisdom in the times of extra pressure. When you're under extra pressure, you're going to need extra Holy Spirit guidance. You're going to need extra Holy Spirit control. I'll tell you why. Pressure insists that you walk in the Spirit or you will walk in the flesh. See, when you feel you're under extra pressure, you better get with the Holy Spirit extra and ask Him to control you. You say, why? Because if the pressure comes and you don't have extra Holy Spirit control, you're going to rip somebody's head off. You're going to cuss a blue streak. You're going to lose your temper. You're going to lose your faith. You're going to lose your testimony. God didn't bring the pressure for you to lose it. God brought the pressure to purify you, to make you, to turn you into something, not to destroy your testimony. He said, but Owens, I'm under extra pressure. What can I do? Go to the Holy Spirit of God. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm under a lot of pressure right now. Help me to control my tongue properly. Help me to control my words properly. Help me to control my actions properly. Help me to control my thinking properly. I do it all the time. When I feel the extra pressure coming upon me, I go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, right now, I need extra. I've got to have extra right now. Extra control. Hey, you better ask the Holy Spirit for extra words of wisdom when the pressure's on. Stay with me now. I said, number one, put pressure on yourself. You won't be as offended when others put pressure on you. Number two, preparation reduces pressure. Number three, today's procrastination intensifies tomorrow's pressure. Number four, God will give you strength for today's pressure, not tomorrow's. Number five, don't ignore pressure. Start solving the problems that you can that create it. Number six, pressure builds. Its purpose is not to destroy. Number seven, when you're under extra pressure, ask for extra help from the Holy Spirit. Number eight, pressure preserves us. Pressure preserves us. When I was growing up, my mama, she canned vegetables from our garden. And when I say canned, I'm talking about she had a pressure cooker. She would get the green beans and she'd get some ball or mason jars and she'd put the green beans and the water and whatever goes in there, salt, and puts a lid on it, had a special lid. She'd put that lid on it, then put the jar in the pressure cooker. How many of you, am I a voice crying in the wilderness? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Wave at me. Okay. Mama would do that. She would put that jar down in that pressure cooker with water, put the lid on it, and turn the heat up. Some of you feel like God's turned the heat up. Yes, He has. What's He doing? He's going to preserve something. If the heat got heavy enough, what would happen is, eventually, she would take it all off the fire, and that little lid, what would happen is, the lid on top, when the pressure intensified enough inside that jar, it would seal. And it would preserve the green beans inside the jar. Matter of fact, you'd hear them pop. We would hear them pop. Mom would say, there they go. They'd pop. If some of you don't hang on, God's going to seal something down inside you, some tenacity, and some drive and some energy. But you got to handle the pressure. Pressure preserves. Pressure today will preserve your tomorrow. So what do you mean? Some of you can face the pressure you're going through right now. When this identical pressure comes a year from now, you'll say, got it. But if you don't survive today's pressure, you're going to face it again another time, because God's going to grow you whether you like it or not. I want to face whatever I must face and take the pressure of today, because when that identical pressure comes again, I'd like to say, I've already graduated. Makes it easier to face the next level when it comes, by the way. Let me move on. Number 9. Training reduces pressure. Training reduces pressure. Some of you, you take, for instance, we had a Wednesday night Sunday school teachers and officers meeting. And we asked everybody that can, we expect you to be there. Can I tell you? You say, I feel pressure in my Sunday school class, and I feel pressure about building it, and I feel pressure about that lesson. Come to the meeting. The people that come to the meeting feel half the pressure that you do. Why? I'm training them at the meeting. Choir member, you say, I'm up here singing. I'm a bit embarrassed. I'm having a hard time with that song. Show up for practice. You see, training reduces pressure. You stand up here and sing in a quartet and you haven't showed up to practice. You say, I'm a little nervous. You're supposed to be. Had you shown up for the training, you would not feel the pressure. Because you understand pressure, that pressure is going to help you. Training reduces pressure. Now, let me say this. If you would do this, some of you have put too much pressure on yourself about something you're going through right now. Say, how so, Brother Owens? This church is trained on how to carry their burdens. You sit in these pews, you get some pretty good training about how to handle life. Won't you just set up and pay attention and absorb it and learn it and use it? Use what you've been given. Shake yourself and say, now what have I been trained to do? There's a group of people. There's a bunch of you in this church. You've been trained. You've been through good Christian schools. A bunch of you graduated from Bible college. Now you use what you've been given. You say, oh, I'm under pressure. I'm going to fall apart. Knock it off. Knock it off now. They don't need to act like that. You've been trained well enough by your God to handle it. That's called pressure from the pastor. Let me go on. The person who constantly caves in during pressure, probably not practicing these things I'm telling you. I know something about pressure. And I'm telling you, if you practice these things, you reduce the pressure in your life. Some of you reduce the pressure in your life, you just quit worrying about tomorrow and yesterday and deal with today the right way. But here's what you do. If you won't do some things I'm teaching you, and you start caving in and falling apart with the pressure, first thing you do is start blaming the pressure. Because you don't want to blame yourself. God's unfair. No, He's not. I'm under too much pressure. No, you're not. It's the leader's fault. No, it's not. We want to blame somebody because we don't want to take personal responsibility. I said this, pressure yourself. Number 2, preparation reduces pressure. Number 3, today's procrastination intensifies tomorrow's pressure. Number 4, you have strength for today's pressure. Number 5, don't ignore pressure. Start fixing the problem. Number 6, pressure makes you better, not worse. It's not your enemy. Number next. Pressure, when you have extra pressure, you need extra Holy Spirit guidance. Number 8, pressure preserves us. Number 9, training reduces pressure. Number 10, if you don't do what I'm saying, you'll cave to pressure, but you'll blame everything else for it. Number 11, and this, again, this is what I said to the man when we were talking. I said, sir, show me pressure. Give me a box of it. He said, well, I can't. I said, bring me some pressure. He said, I can't. Has no smell, has no taste, has no color, and has no sound. And now you be careful with something that has no smell, has no taste, has no color, and has no sound that you give it too much credit in your life. Right? A lot of pressure is what we do to ourselves. It's how we behave toward life. Let me go on. Number 12. You probably won't like this. Pressure is determined by the character of the Christian, not necessarily the circumstances. See, what is heavy to one is not to another. Sometimes that has to do with how one behaves and how another does not. Here we see a man that two people faced the very same storm. One held up and the other didn't. And I can promise you, there's somebody that's holding up under the identical pressure you're under, but it's an identical pressure. What's the difference? It's not the pressure. It's the you. I sometimes, as a pastor of a thriving, growing church, the attack of the devil comes, and it comes far too frequently for me. I like him to back off and shut up and leave me alone. But he doesn't seem to be interested in that. And there are some times I need to say to myself, other men have taken it. Every man that's got a church this size all across the world and for all generations have taken it. If they can, I can. You see, I think sometimes pressure is determined by the character of the Christian, but not by the circumstance that creates the pressure. Let me say this. You know, a person that holds up under pressure, you can build something that'll last. If you can hold up under pressure, your marriage will last. If you can hold up under pressure, your ministry will last. If you can hold up under pressure, your business will last. You ask the businessmen that are in here, they'll tell you there's pressure in business, especially right now. Hold up, fellas. Hold up. Just outlast everybody else. But according to this, there was somebody under pressure and their house stood fast. I'm finished, but let me make one more observation. Handling pressure will qualify you for leadership. The Bible says here in this passage, let me read the last two verses of this. It says, Jesus had told the story about the rain and the flood and the building the house on the rock and the house on the sand. And it says here, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were amazed as he was teaching them how to hold up when the storms are hitting you. They were amazed at it. Then it says, for he taught them as one having authority. You know what that means? They looked at him and said, this guy's got authority. Well, nobody faced pressure like Jesus did. You know what was expected of him? Perfection in a human body. You can thank God you don't have to work for your salvation. He had to be perfect to remain the Son of God. He was under pressure. Believe me, he was under pressure. The people were astonished at the teaching. It says he was one having authority. Let me tell you this. Take pressure. Get leadership. Take pressure. Get leadership. Can't take pressure. Don't get leadership. Every man here that spent any time in the military, raise your hand, will you please? Do you agree? Take pressure. Get leadership. You don't get leadership to the guy that's got his tail between his legs, running and whining and hiding. That's not the kind of person you want leading the rest of the guys. Somebody's got to have backbone. Take pressure. Get leadership. Somehow, the amount of pressure you can handle determines how much leadership God can trust you with. The amount of pressure you take has something to do with the amount of influence and leadership God can trust you with. That's just how it is. I was just sitting with a man. He asked, he said, preacher, I feel like I'm under a lot of pressure. He said, can you talk to me about it? I wrote down 13 or 14 things. We sat, I think, at a hotel, drinking coffee. Took an hour, hour and a half. I said, if you'll pay attention to these things, they will help you. Somehow tonight, wherever you're at, whether you're a teenager, a child, an adult, a husband, a wife, whatever, pressure is there. Deal with it properly. We're to deal with pressure with dignity and with the Christian graces. That pressure's not there to destroy you. It's there to make you. Don't run from it. I've watched many a person crumble right at the strategic moment. God was about to move them up and do something, and they crumbled under the pressure. Now they got to regather momentum. And you can. You say, I've crumbled. I back off at the wrong time. Okay, step up. You can regain. But some of you hang in there. Who knows? Tomorrow may be the day that all the pressure you've been under is the day that you'll see the reward for the pressure that you've